the Newfound Overland Podcast, where we have relevant conversations about vehicle-dependent travel, adventure bikes to rocklanders, weekend warriors to full-time travelers, and everything in between. Newfound Overland. Overlanding undefined. Welcome back to another episode of Newfound Overland Podcast. I'm your host, Benji, and sort of kind of in a way in studio. We've got Miss Mandy and Mr. Adam. How are y'all doing?
How are you?
Good. I'm glad this worked out. They are roaming with the Milligans.
That's us.
From North Carolina. And I'm glad this finally worked out. And we'll have you back on the show again. And maybe even do an in-person. That'd be fun one day. But it's like we tried to get all this going. And I just sent you a message the other day. I was like, screw it. Let's do it. You know, nothing's going to be perfect ever. So most of all that is on my end because I've got to have all this fancy stuff and be all professional like, and here we are. So how are you guys?
We're great.
Yeah, we're good, man. It's raining here in North Carolina. I don't know how the weather is at your place, but
it's been off and on. It has been a wet spring. Is that typical for you guys this time of year still?
It is normally, but it seems like we had like the pollen forever. It was like,
oh, really?
We have what it, instead of calling it like spring, it's like the pollen. That's all we call it.
Wow.
Because it's been here for 2 months.
Is it like that real thick yellow pollen?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Pine trees, big black oak trees. Yes. If you got sinuses, don't move to Eastern North Carolina.
Man. Yeah. A few times here in Missouri, it's really bad like that. But, you know, and I don't really have allergies, so I can't, you know, give sympathy to anyone that sneezes and stuff like that during whatever. But anyway, most of the times it's like thick with that yellow nasty pollen, and you go to the car wash and 5 minutes later you're buried in it again.
Yeah,
this year we've been pretty mild, I think, because all the rain we've had.
That's good.
So roaming with the Milligans, let's just dive into it. You guys have a YouTube channel. Is there anything else you guys got going on?
We got Instagram and YouTube. Our Instagram is actually bigger than our YouTube. We just I'm having a hard time getting into the all the editing and when to record stuff, when not to record stuff.
Yeah.
I take a lot of pictures. She takes a lot of pictures. And it seems like the Instagram works better. We really want to grow the YouTube, but to grow it, you got to put stuff on it. So
you got
to
put it on it. You got to do the algorithm and twice a week, times a week. It's like, gosh.
And we also need new software. So it's like we need a big computer system and...
It's never ending.
I know.
It's never ending. Right. And it's like, you know, you could have all the cool fancy stuff, but Johnny comes along and he's got all the cool fancy stuff. You got to be like him. Anyway, it's just never ending. So that's what I've been doing with my studio, updating software, and then my computer crashed. Now I got another computer and now my computer doesn't like my USB-C cable going to my camera. So it's just like those little small learning things that are probably going to be really quick down the road, you know, but right now they're just roadblocks. Frustrating.
Yeah. I learned to edit for videos on the Apple software, but all on a friend's computer. We don't have an Apple computer at the house. So it's like, well, I know how to edit on that software fairly decent, but now we got to find something else. We got an almost brand new computer here. And it's like, do we get rid of this computer and get another one? Do we just try a different software? I mean, that's the part that kind of, I guess, the stumbling block for YouTube for us. And, you know, we'll figure it out, though.
What software are you currently using?
Lenovo, Iris, Intel, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like I said, I'll go to my friend's house and edit on their computer and use their Apple iMovie. And that's what they kind of taught me on. So whenever I have time to go over there, I can edit some videos at their place, but we don't have that here. So we have no idea what to get to put on this computer at our house.
Well, we're not going
to
use this one. We're just going to get a whole new system.
I would suggest, I'm just going down the suggestion lane here, DaVinci Resolve. It's a free entry level. I say entry level. There's a lot going on in there, but you can only do so much until you have to pay for it.
Right.
So,
I've read a ton on the DaVinci Resolve, and it's
to me, because I've used the iMovie before, like on my tablet, that's what I used to do kind of my movies on, my little videos, my camp videos. And then I switched computers, and then now you've got the difference between, what is it, MOV files versus MP3 files or MP4 files. And it's just like they're not compatible. Apple and I would call them just Microsoft, they're just not compatible. They've never been compatible.
At all.
They want you to buy two different ones.
They do.
We shoot most of our footage and pictures on two iPhones. We do have one GoPro, but a lot of our stuff comes off of our iPhones, and so that's why I learned all the iMovie stuff. So
yeah.
We've not jumped into a different camera system or anything like that.
Now,
a lot of our stuff's just kind of raw footage.
I like that style. A lot of people do. Another suggestion, since we're talking about it, get you a cheap little iPad or something. Don't pay for the data on that, but that's what I used to edit all mine on for years, two or three years. And then you'll either outgrow that or get tired of just the same X amount of features, but depending on which model you get. But anyway,
let's get a decent one. That makes sense too.
Yeah. Just so you can do it at home, you know, spend $100, $200 on a used one somewhere and just do it from home for a little bit. See if you like it.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Thumbs up.
let's go back to, I always like asking people how they got into camping and then more so into the overland style of camping. If you guys want to share a little story with us, that's fine. Paint a picture.
We got a long story for you.
It's a podcast. Don't think like we need short answers.
we can agree with it.
So when we first started dating, I told her that I wanted to get back into camping. I told her the type of camping that I like to do, which was I've always been into four-wheel drives. I've had rock crawlers. I've had mud trucks. I've had just daily drivers that got beat all to pieces. And so I just like to throw stuff in the back of the truck, lock it in four-wheel drive, and go as far into the woods as I can and find a place to stay. And this is what she said to me. She said, "I'm not sure why you want to camp outside of a campground." You know? So fast forward a couple years, she loves to shell and to find shark's teeth. And, you know, we live at the beach, so that's a big thing. And she found this place in North Carolina called Cape Lookout. And she wanted to go for the day. Well, to get the truck and me and her over there for the day, it's like $165. And I was like, that doesn't make sense for the day. Let me plan. Yeah. It's a national park. It's a private ferry. That's why it's expensive. Because the private ferry takes you over round trip. I said, let me plan a three-day camping trip. I said, let me take care of everything. We found a $25 Coleman tent. I had a few odds and ends. I got us a blow-up, I wouldn't even call it a mattress, a hiking pad, two-person hiking pad.
Those are the most misleading pieces of crap on the planet. Unless you are some backpacker who's hardcore and can only take 3 pounds worth of gear with you, those things are absolute trash.
Yes. Well, thank goodness we brought a couple blankets and we like layered it so it looked like a sandwich.
Yeah, it was early April, so it was cold too. But I had a two burner flat top griddle. I love to cook. I've always loved to cook. And so got her on the island. She shelled for hours, like literally just everything she could find. Conch shells as big as our heads. We've got them all in the house. Yeah. But it come time to set up camp. So I set up camp. I set up on the bay side of the island. The sun's setting on the bay. Waves are crashing. I dug her a fire pit. I cooked her a really good dinner. I set her down with her meal and a cold beer. And you look to the left and you look to the right. There was nobody for miles.
Wow.
And she looked me in the eye. She goes, "I get it. We can do this."
Nice. Well, good for you guys. That's very, unusual.
Yeah.
You know, for
man, for it's like I was bass fishing, man. I set that hook so hard.
We really did. It was great. And Cape Lookout is like our top destination.
Really? I'm going to write that one down for me.
Please do.
Hey, look out in the Outer Banks.
You've got to at least come once and try it. But
sounds really cool.
But he's worked on the beach forever, his whole career, basically. And it's like he didn't ever like the beach until he met me because every Sunday.
Sure.
Like, we're going to the beach. You want to come? And he's like, yeah. So when we got out there, I was like, this is like home to me. Like, I feel
sweet. Real connected.
It's so different, man. If you're into peaceful anything, that place regenerates you. It's a national park. You can stay on it for 14 days at a time.
Wow.
There's a ghost town. There's one of the more famous lighthouses in North Carolina is there. Yeah. You can visit it. Hmm. You camp on the beach. You can't camp anywhere other than the beach. And there's I don't want to misquote it, but probably 65 or 70 miles of beach. Wow. that you can drive on, and that's what we do. We ride the back roads, ride the front roads, seashells. We go twice a year to Cape Lookout usually.
Do they cap the amount of people that they let on there at a time?
No, really? No,
because they do have a cap on your days of stay.
Yeah, of course that's most parks, but no, they don't cap the amount of people. It's a big offshore fishing destination in the early spring and the late fall for the big drum and stuff. So you'll see, man, bread trucks out there with big balloon tires on them, old military trucks that have been decked out. These old guys, these 100-year-old guys are out there just fishing away. Sweet. All kinds of truck dualies with campers on the back. You'll see a lot of overland-style vehicles.
Mm-hmm. We call the Toyota crew.
Yeah, the Toyota. You
know, man, let's get into that real quick, because I drive a Toyota and I got
to
lean my seat back a little bit. I got to relax for this. My blood pressure will get all high. I'm just joking. So speaking of like the overland look, it's kind of funny you mentioned that, because a lot of people go into this and they just go out and buy all that crap just to look cool instead of the practicality. But anyway, so I got a third gen 4Runner, it's an older vehicle, and finding aftermarket stuff for that vehicle was difficult, but I've got it now. So then all of a sudden I need a roto packs, and now I need an awning. So it's like, Benji, you're kind of turning into that person you used to cringe at. So
you need all this stuff now.
Well, I'm not gonna say I'm not that guy, because I'm a gear guy. But I'm a DIY guy too.
Yes.
Yeah. I love to look at something that is put out there for everybody to buy, and I go, well, that's kind of out of my budget. Let me see what I can create on my own. And we have an older truck, a 2003 Dodge 2500. When we started the camp, we had a 2014 Silverado that was paid off, and we got T-boned randomly on an accident. And
it was bad.
We were looking for new trucks, and I've always actually I've owned more Dodges than anything else. And we were looking for new trucks, used trucks. We don't buy new trucks. And I sent her about 10 different pictures of 10 different trucks, and she saw ours, and she's like, "That's you.
Yeah, nice.
That's the one you got to get."
Because you can't tell here, but like, I'm short, okay? And he's like this big dude, and I'm like, all these other little trucks you're showing me is like, no, you're a big dude, you need a big truck.
Nice.
So, we bought it. It had a little less than 200,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
I've gone through the suspension, front and rear. I've done upgrades to the motor, plugs, wires, upgraded it to new coils versus the older coils. Steering, power steering box, redhead power steering box, bigger power steering pump. Just all the things I've always done with every vehicle I've ever had.
Mm.
And now it rides on 37s. She says that's as high as we can go.
Yes. You should see me get in this truck. Like, it's common.
You don't have a little milk crate with a string attached to the end, do you? Okay.
He did buy me a little turquoise ladder thing. That's for the camper too.
Yeah, that's funny.
Because our camper's on 33s, our trailer.
Yeah.
Dang.
We eventually upgraded to a trailer for different reasons, but we went down the line. We had a Gazelle tent. Still have the Gazelle tent. Love it to death. Mm-hmm. Never going to get rid of it because it's such a great tool.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we eventually got caught in a bad storm.
We have to tell that story.
Oh yeah. So it was actually the day we got engaged on Cape Lookout. That night, she wakes me up at like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and she's like, "We need to get in the truck." I'm like, "What are you talking about? We don't need to get in the truck. We're fine." And I look over, and the tent has cocooned her her side.
So like, I'm on a cot, and then the Coleman tent is like this.
Yeah, it was in the cold before we even got the Gazelle, and it cocooned her, and it was a nor'eastern that come blowing up, and we didn't know it was coming.
43 mile an hour gust.
Yeah, and so
that'll wake you up.
Yeah. Yes.
So we jump in the truck, and she says, "Can we start working on a better tent?" I was like, "Absolutely. I've done all my research, and I do that too. Like, if I see something I like, I'm going to read everything." I said, "These Gazelles, they're a little pricey, but they're the best bang for your buck."
We bought one.
So we got it, and we camped and hit 4, 5, 6, 7, I don't even know how many times. And then we went to Overland Expo East with the intention of looking and touching a bunch of trailers and trying to figure out what kind of trailer fit in our budget. And we felt, of course, we fell in love with a $65,000.
Of course. I'm like, oh, this is so nice. And he's like, did you see the price tag? I'm like, no.
Some of those are ridiculous. I've seen some up in the hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, all aluminum chassis, all that mess. So, yeah, just crazy. And then we touched one that I thought, and I won't say the name of it because I don't want to talk bad about anybody, but one that I thought was the one that we were going to go with.
Yeah.
And we went and touched it at the expo, and I was like,
we were both like,
not going to happen.
Really?
Yeah.
You'll have to tell me off air. I'm going to make a note real quick.
Yes. Yeah. So,
well, we had been looking at them online, and we were watching other people on YouTube that had them at West. And we
I know which ones you're talking about. Turtlebacks?
No.
Okay, then I'll shut up then.
To me, it was a quality thing. Like when I touched it, it wasn't the best bang for my buck.
Okay.
When I put my hands on it, it wasn't.
I get that feeling. You could see quality. You could touch what you're paying for. Yeah. And that was just very obvious to you just off the bat.
Yeah.
Like,
and our friends had the XTR.
Well, yeah, we met a couple on Cape Lookout who had a vintage Trailer Work XTR 9-foot. And we ended up on the 10-foot because we wanted a little more bed space. And they use theirs more for storage than anything because they got a rooftop tent on top of theirs. So they're gear junkies and they carry everything with them. So they wanted
What's the dry weight of the trailer without all your gear?
3,200 pounds. 3,200 is the dry weight. I think ours is substantially a little more than that, but the truck doesn't really care. Yeah. But 3,200.
Good looking trailer.
Yeah, I love it, man. And that was what drew me to the XTR initially was the shape of it. I literally, when I seen it on the beach at Cape Lookout, these people that we'd never met before in our lives, I literally just whipped it in. I was like, we're going to go talk to these people.
Nice.
So right by them twice. And he's like,
that's cool.
Yeah.
He's like, that's the thing we want to look at. And I'm like, well, let's not bother him. He's like, I'm going.
Nice. But you got to do that. You might not see it ever again.
Exactly. Yeah.
And there's something about this thing, this overlanding, this camping, this type of adventuring that we're doing is, people don't mind if you do that most 99.9% of the time.
They like that.
The couple that we met are lifelong friends now. I mean, we camped with them three or four times. They've just recently moved to
Wyoming
for his work. Wow. So now we have a base camp in Wyoming if we ever want to get out.
Nice.
They literally tell us once a month, when are you coming? And it's like, man, we got a life to finish up here before
Isn't that something? If we could just all live our lives, man, and not work and pay bills and taxes. And
that would be nice. So our goal is when he retires is to take a trip out west and just.
Good for you. Just plan it and go. Yeah.
Yeah. I told him, I'm like, at least the first 3 months after you retire, because some of our family members, parents, they retired and they don't go anywhere. And I'm like, guys.
Isn't that crazy? And I mean, we talk about this because we're all humans, but it's funny to me. I live in like a small rural town. I didn't grow up in a small rural town, but my wife did, and we've lived here for 10 years now. And I grew up in Springfield, Missouri, well, south of there a little bit, but it's a lot larger than we're at. So I've seen like all these people that were born and raised here, and then they just
die here.
They don't live. They just sit on their front porch, bitch about the news, and then they die. They don't live life. They're just surviving.
Yeah, that's why I said 3 month minimum. We're gone.
Yeah, that's our area too. We live in Brunswick County is really rural. It's actually 90% farmland, but it's exploding as far as population goes. And there's a lot of retirees because we got 3 beaches in the county. So it's funny. One side of 17 is pure farmland. The other side of the interstate is beaches. And most people at the beaches don't even know the farmland exists. But it's the same way. Once you get into the farming areas, some of those people have never left the county. And we love to see new stuff. We always have.
Absolutely.
And that's what drives me is new places to see.
Especially watching like other people's adventures. You know, it's like, I can't experience all the places everybody goes on YouTube. Nobody can. But you could sure as heck rule out which ones you're going to go to. So that's pretty fun.
You can give it a good college try, you know.
Mm-hmm. We look for places close to us. You know, in North Carolina, there's so much. Like, you've got mountains on one side, beach on the other, and in the middle is, you know, farm, obviously.
Yeah.
Which farming is everywhere in North Carolina. But South Carolina from us is like 25 minutes to get to Myrtle Beach. And then if you venture out a little bit further, like we went to Charleston 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, 3 weeks ago.
We love Charleston.
John's Island. Yeah, we the big thing, the holdup for Eastern North Carolina is there's not a lot of free camp.
Yeah. It's just I've heard that about the East Coast. Yeah. It's real tough.
But there's other ways around it. Like we found Hip Camp, and for 20 bucks,
Hip camps have been a savior for a lot of folks because a lot of people do have land, and they're like, "Well, how can I make money off my land?" You know, so they. Yeah. I mean, it's not a ton of money for them, but it's better than just sitting there and rotting. So that's cool.
Exactly.
Yeah, we stayed on a 300-acre farm with cows around us on the river. Just outside of Charleston, a place called John's Island. And, man, it was amazing. Like, you wake up and the cows are, like, 40 feet away. The donkey wakes you up in the morning. I mean, it was neat. And we do a lot of that, but I really want to expand out and go into other states. Georgia. We've camped in Georgia. We've camped in Virginia. Tennessee. West Virginia. I want to get out there and find those free spots and find those places that not a lot of people have seen, honestly. That's what's in my heart with the whole thing.
Yeah. That's the beauty of Arkansas. You know, they call it the natural state. You know, I always try to I try to share what I can about Arkansas because it's just simply beautiful. And it's natural because, A, the roads to get places, it's horrible. Like, even highways, it's like there can't be, and I should say this carefully, there can't be a big boom within communities because no big company is going to come in there and do it. It just doesn't make sense. So a lot of these buildings are 100 years old. You go down these dirt roads that probably 3 or 4 people a year only go down. It's crazy. And it's so cool to see all the fun natural beauties and historical things. There's stone walls everywhere in Arkansas built by slaves back in the day. And you get to see that history and it's like, it's just untouched, you know, it's all grown up now, but it's cool to see and witness.
Yeah. And I'm a history buff. Like, I love it. History is something I always was awesome to study in school, read up on it. So to find something, to find a wall, to find a chimney in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the kind of stuff that I love. I think it's cool.
Yeah, it is very cool. So do you guys have any major trips planned for this year? I know you said you want to go out further, but have you guys planned anything like that or just kind of stay local this summer?
Yeah. So because of our jobs, we don't do a whole lot in the summertime. We really pretty much work Memorial Day to Labor Day, basically wide open. So we plan all of our stuff in the fall and the winter. So we're planning October going to Portsmouth, which is a small island just on the other side of Cape Lookout that we've tried to get on for three or four years. There's always been something wrong. The ferry was broke down. There was an older guy who owned the ferry that was pretty much retired and didn't tell nobody. So a new ferry company bought the ferry. We booked it to go in March for my birthday. And I got a text 2 weeks before we were trying to leave. The ferries was in dry dock and it was still damaged from something. So they postponed that. So we're trying to go to Portsmouth.
That'd be your fourth attempt?
Our fourth attempt.
Amen. You know, there's a reason why we haven't been yet. But when we get there, it's supposed to be just as beautiful as Cape Lookout, if not more. It's a smaller version of Cape Lookout, much less people, smaller beaches, just less traffic, a little bit of less everything. But it's still probably going to be amazing.
But he's trying to get us on to 105 as well, which is up in the mountains.
Yeah, I got a buddy that we met again on Cape Lookout with a trailer. And he does some camping on old 105 road in North Carolina. It's this little road. If you YouTube it or Google it, there's a ton of outcroppings and stuff. It's right on a gorge and it's free and it's in between two towns. It's like 20 or 30 miles long. It's just almost like a little trail in the Ozarks, but it's in eastern North Carolina. So we're going to plan that for October and then probably try to get closer to Elk River in the end of October. We're trying to plan at least one a month through the end of the year, starting in September, October, November, December, 1 week in a month getting out and just trying to hit somewhere new. You know, with Cape Lookout, as much as we love it, we've been twice a year now for the last four years. And so we can sit there and relax and enjoy ourselves, but there's nothing new to see. We've seen it all. Like we've mapped, I even mapped Cape Lookout for Onyx, you know. Yeah. So
you don't want to get burned out either. You know,
that's right. No.
That's right.
You don't want your favorite place to become an eye roll, you know. Yeah. You go camping there again, I guess.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
That's where I'm like with Arkansas, you know, it's like you explore the same area, Yeah, that's fun. You know, especially with four seasons, that's really fun. Right. It does, you don't burn out on it. But then, I mean, at some point you got to branch out a little bit, but there's tons of roads in Arkansas I'll never be able to touch. You know, there's just too many of them. I live too far away from there, but
River. There was one more that we talked about before the end of the year, but we're going to try to camp right on through January.
We want to go to the one in Tennessee where you want to meet our friends. Remember?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Our friends, Paul and JJ that moved out west. We talked about this area in Tennessee that would be kind of like a halfway point between the two of us. And probably more actually pro us, but they were willing to come to Tennessee. We were going to try to plan a trip with them.
Was that the Lakes or something like that?
No. I think that's in Georgia.
Oh, okay. Well, we've talked about another place in Georgia,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. I think that's great. And I think it's good to set plans, you know, to at least set aside, like, hey, at least once a month we're going to go out, whatever.
Yeah.
Sometimes that ain't going to happen, but at least you have it on a calendar, you know.
After Labor Day, because of, like you said, because we're so busy.
Yeah.
After Labor Day, that's where it starts. At least once to twice a month, we're gone.
Yeah, my schedule works where I get every other weekend off after Labor. You know, I get every other weekend off after Labor Day. She gets pretty much every weekend off after
nice.
September. So we that's the plan, is to try to hit as many as the budget will allow.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. And that's what it's all about, too. What about Venture Unknown? Have you guys done any of the Sweep the East kind of deals? Have you guys heard of that?
No, I haven't heard of Venture Unknown, but I have heard of the back
Sweep up the Southwest. They have that big 10 state cleanup. It's real big on the East Coast.
Man,
trail cleanup kind of stuff. But
send me some information on it.
I'll send you some info on it, but I was going to ask you also if you knew Brian from Boondock Taverlock. He's got a YouTube channel. He's been on the show I think a couple months ago, but anyway, he's from that area, North Carolina, but not necessarily out on the east side. He might be more central. I don't know. I could figure all that out.
I've seen some of his stuff, but I think he's central North Carolina.
We'll have to go check him out.
Yeah.
I mean, if
but that's what I was going to get at. Is there much of a, I don't want to say the word club. Is there like a group or organizations you guys try to go to? Is there events you try to go to that are kind of local to you?
The Overland
Expo. I mean, we adventured to the Overland Expo East at one time, but yeah, I wish there was more. I wish there's a lot of cars and coffees around here for hot rodders and stuff. And I'm a hot rodder at heart, so I'd love to go see them too. An old friend of mine just started a Jeep meetup in Myrtle Beach. At the new Black Rifle Coffee, he owns Aggressive Crawlers. He's famous for putting Hemis and Jeep JKs and TJs and stuff like that. He just did. I told him that we were going to crash it one day with a Dodge, you know, because I tell everybody the Dodge is a Jeep. I mean, whether they want to admit it or not, it's got the same suspension in the front as any other Jeep in the last. Since the YJ, and you know, it's got leaf springs in the back, so the XJ was probably the greatest Jeep ever built. They just didn't build it for big guys, and it had leaf springs in the back, so same suspension. So I told him we were going to crash it with our trailer and everything one day, because they're just all like, man, there's probably, I've seen some of the pictures, and not a lot of those guys will a lot to go to those events, but we're going to crash it with the trailer and everything, put the awnings out.
Yeah, deploy everything. You know? Nice. You'll probably recruit a whole bunch of people and then be like, what is that thing?
Yeah.
What is this?
We get a lot of questions. I mean, every gas station we stop at, they're like, what is this?
Isn't that funny? It's still like kind of new to a lot of people, like that they obviously don't watch YouTube. They obviously don't get on Facebook or nothing. But yeah, I'll get that sometimes here too. But it's blowed up crazy in our area, you know, Missouri, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Kansas, and surrounding. But there's like a few core areas and like groups, I'd call them, you know, they all do camping, like the Okie Overland people. They got to camp out this weekend. You know, Rendezvous in the Ozarks, the Natural State Overland, they put that on every year. More expos in Missouri. So there's a bunch of things and smaller things that happen all the time. There's probably four rigs and coffee within a 200-mile radius.
Yeah.
You know, Springfield, I think it's every Saturday or second, whatever. But anyway, there's a lot is what I was getting at. So
we wish we had that here. I mean, if drum us up some people, you know, if we could do that. Like, it's so cool to see other people's gear and everything that they have, because then we look at it and we're like, hey, we need that. Mm-hmm.
How can I build that? That's what my head.
how could I get that, but not for that price?
Yes. So,
but in we, like she said, I wish there was more of it. There's a couple off-road clubs, but they go to Yawari, and Yawari is a cool place. It's a little national forest. It's, you know, in North Carolina. It's mostly Jeep trails and side-by-side trails. There is some camping. You can't camp on the trails, though. You have to camp in the little campgrounds and stuff. Yeah. So
that's like rock crawling and horseback riding, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like side-by-side.
Is it a park or is it national? Or
It's a state park. It's a state park. And cool. They've got that, and some people go to that. I used to go to that when I was into rock crawling. That's kind of where I would go to test something before I took it to, like, I was into rock crawling and stuff back when Teleco, Tennessee was still open. You know, they closed that years ago. Mm. So the first time I ever really did any real rock crawling was on this ledge called Cable Hill. And it blew my mind. It's the most fun I'd ever had at 2 mile an hour, you know?
Right.
But that's a really expensive. Some people think overland is expensive. You go ahead and build you a rock crawler. That you can't sleep in.
Well, shoot, now they got them buggies that, you know, got four-wheel steer and all that stuff, like freaking huge drops on their, articulation and stuff. It's like they just crawl over boulders now. Yeah. But, yeah.
When I got out of rock crawling, I had a 2000 Dodge 1500 chassis on rock wheels and 49-inch IROC.
Nice.
That's when I got it, and it chopped the bed off of it. You know, it was just a cab and all that. So but I got out all that. Mandy's not big on the off-roading. She really likes to go camp, set up a base camp, go explore the area a little bit. If we hit some mud or a few little trails, she's okay with that.
Yeah.
But more or less, she just likes to adventure and see stuff new. So
Mandy, let me ask you this. Because my wife, and you could tell me how you like it whenever you go out, do you guys try to split up, like, you know, there's a cool little town, let's swing in there and explore it and then go back out? You guys kind of do that?
I do. So I always research the area that's going to be nearby where we are. And just like when we went to pick up the trailer, we had all intentions of going to Helen, Georgia, which is like a little Switzerland town
In
the middle of nowhere. And I'm like, we've got to go there. And I can't remember why we did. Was it the storm? There was a storm or something, but we didn't get to swing through there. So
No. We had to the trip took longer because the alternator went out on my 20-plus-year-old truck on the interstate. Yeah. So I had to I told her to find me an AutoZone. We pulled in. I changed it in the parking lot in the rain.
But to answer your question, yes, I love to research what's close by so that if we can, you know, take a little detour and run and check that out real quick. I'm all for that.
That's the way my wife is. So when I go with my buddies, it's like almost sun up to sundown. We're just out exploring, wheeling, doing stuff, whatever. And then whenever it's with my wife, she's like, hey, let's go to this little town and look at it. I'm like, okay.
Because she probably likes, like me, I either like to go for the food or I like to go for the shopping.
Who doesn't love the food that you find in some of these small towns?
Yes.
So that's another plus for going and taking back roads necessarily. Like if you're going just 100 miles or whatever, take the side road, you know, take something like that. Take the slower route to get there because you'll see a bunch of cool stuff. But yeah, hole in the wall food's the best. We really enjoy antiques, so we'll try to go to antiques.
Yeah, us too.
You know, even a few states away, you'll see all sorts of different weird stuff that you don't get back home. So, pros and cons. So this weekend, we were going to go to Eureka Springs and hang out there and kind of do the whole whatever. But now I've convinced her to go and just camp on a river bank somewhere, and we'll see how that goes.
That's awesome, though. We plan when we take our next trip to the mountains, we really, really, really want to plan a weekend. And I think I'm getting my business to where I can actually pay somebody to work for me. Good. Maybe one weekend after the 4th. But we would really like to go tubing because around here in our mountains, that's like the big thing is to go tubing.
Okay, tell us about it. Tell us for everybody that doesn't know what tubing is, and I'll try to say if it's close to what we do in Missouri.
So you donut. It's a blow up tube, of course, like an inner tube out of a tire. But the guy puts you on a bus, you know, 20 or 30 deep on this bus he's cutting the roof off of. He drives up to the top of the mountain at the end of the river. He throws you in the river. Sometimes you have a guide. Sometimes you don't. He says, I'll meet you 6 miles down the river.
Yep.
And you just float, hang out. Some people float their coolers. Some people, you know, don't. And you just kind of just, it's almost relax. Like it's a natural lazy river, I guess.
Yeah.
Relax, unless you hit rapids.
Yeah.
So that's exactly how it is here. You know, and it's real chill. It's laid back. It's a good time just to go out with your friends and do nothing but float. But then some people have never experienced that, or they've never even seen it. I think that blows my mind.
That makes me sad for 2/3 of the world.
For sure. Absolutely. You're missing out. Go get you a $20 inner tube.
That's right.
Back in the, you know, they're probably real expensive now. They used to be cheap back in the day.
That's right. But,
so you said earlier, Adam, you like to cook. What do you cook? What is a prep? Do you prep before? Do you do everything out there? How do you go through?
I do it both ways, depending on what it is. If it's something that sometimes I'll prep the meat. I like to do a bunch of different kinds of quesadillas. So I might do a Mexican style chicken in the crock pot, shred it, throw it in the fridge. I like to do smash burgers. We really get into smoked brisket quesadillas.
Yeah.
And I think we cook it almost every time we go camping because it's the first thing I handed her that first trip in Cape Lookout.
Nice.
So when I asked her, I was like, all right, so I'm planning the menu for the weekend. What do you want? She goes, I want quesadillas.
Yeah.
You know? So, and that, of course, you can't smoke a brisket out on the,
out the back of a pickup truck.
So, you know, I'll take the brisket, put it in the cooler, take everything else, throw it on. I got a 2-burner, flat top griddle that actually went out on us this last trip.
Yeah.
So I got to get in there and tear it apart, see what's going on with it. You know, quesadillas, burgers. We've made pizzas in West Virginia. I made Barra tacos on the top of a peak in Virginia in the mountains.
West Virginia,
really? With it snowing. You know, the red tacos where you dip them in the sauce and flip them over.
That's crazy.
That was amazing.
Yes. And here's what I make. Pancakes.
She's the pancake queen. Yes. I cannot make a pancake.
He cannot make a pancake to save his life.
Really? Well, you burn it or do you flip it too soon?
I think I burn them.
You burn them and then they're too thin.
She doesn't like them thin.
I tell them all the time, I'm like, Adam, the first one is squash. Like when you put the first one on the grill, you're done. Just eat it and don't tell anybody. Now, then the rest, you have to give a little bit of time because you have to let your stove heat up. And
I just concede pancakes to her.
Yeah.
Man.
But now I do some amazing French toast out on the trail.
Yes.
So.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes. We have
Do you guys try to incorporate open flame or do you just try to stick to a skillet or flat top? We've never done open flame.
We just do it. We have all propane. So I got the flat top and then our camper actually came with a 2-burner. High dollar ones. I wish I could remember the name of it now. I wouldn't have bought it if it didn't come in the trailer. That's where it's priced at.
I do have an open flame little griddle thing that sits over the open flame. Mm. In my Amazon car, and he saw it, and he's like,
are those, is it a circle?
I think so, and then it has little wheels on it.
I saw that. I'll have to look it up, but yeah, I saw something like that too.
Well, here in the house, I cook on open flame in the backyard. I'll do ribeyes, and I'll do oysters and ribeyes on a burn barrel with the oak wood, just good oak post wood. And oysters are big here, so we roast oysters three or four times during oyster season, and then I'll throw a ribeye or some sausage on there. It's got a stainless steel grate. I just throw it on top.
Nice. So
you're in Missouri?
Why do you look like that is so bad? You just said you're in Missouri?
Well, I mean, I was thinking, just joking. Have you ever had oysters?
Eh, not my flavor. You know what I'm saying? It could have been the place I went.
It was.
You know.
It was the way they were done. Like, Eastern North Carolina oysters are different.
But I grew up, as a kid, we would go to the Outer Banks. We'd go to Virginia. We'd go to the East Coast. And my mom's all about the fresh food, the seafood.
You were eating in the summertime.
But it's like, I don't, as a kid, I didn't want to eat them. You know, I was from Missouri. Give me some beef or something.
That's true. I didn't like them when I was a kid either.
Did you predominantly go to the Outer Banks in the summertime?
Yeah.
You were eating non-fresh oysters.
Just leftovers from the season?
Or from a a shuckery out of wherever, not from North Carolina, because oysters are a winter time. Their harvest is in the winter. Like when we eat oysters, they were in the water 24 hours before they go on our grill.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Have you heard of Muscle Fest out in Washington State?
No, but it sounds amazing.
I got a buddy, Eric Cortez.
That could go a different way.
Yeah, well, yeah, this is where it gets funny, though. Is like it's not necessarily like that, but Eric Cortez. He I don't even know if he listens to the show, but anyway, he came through our area because he did the tap. So that's from Washington. I think ends in Florida or Georgia, something weird like that. So he did the whole thing like that. And he stopped at our house, and we did I'm out of film.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
It doesn't do much. What was we talking about? Oh, Muscle Fest. So anyway, he came through here. He talked to us. He stayed at our house, and he kept telling me and my wife, you guys should come out to Washington every, I think it's in March or something. He goes, you need to come out here. It's called Muscle Fest. And wherever he lives, it's kind of like a little island off of Washington. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
And me and Kate, my wife, we're just looking at each other and we're like, we're not going to fly halfway across the country, let alone drive to go eat mussels.
Mussels. Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I can't do mussels.
That's like a pop and slurp kind of thing.
Now, I love the idea of going to Washington because if you follow anybody, it's
gorgeous out there.
The trails look amazing.
Oh,
that's that's on the list.
Kansas, I love you, but I wish we could delete all that up there right through the Midwest. Get rid of all of them.
That's right.
But anywho, a little off track, but that's the way I roll. So you guys are into the cook camping and stuff like that. So that's cool. That's where I was going.
Yeah, we definitely cook a good bit of the meals that we go camping with. And it's part of our budget, too, when we plan a trip. You know, we plan a couple weeks in advance what we're going to take as far as food goes. And we also planned, like when we went to Charleston last month, it was basically her birthday weekend. We planned to go out to dinner, you know, a really nice dinner out that way because some of the restaurants are amazing out that way. So, you know, that means I don't have to cook that day. You know?
Yeah.
Nice. It's kind of like that. You got to meal prep a little bit, you know, for these trips. But if there's like a nice hole in the wall spot you want to go, then that's your night to go to town or do whatever. But for the most part, you know. I suck. I'm horrible at cooking. Like I have taste buds, but I am horrible at cooking. So that's why I always ask people like, what do you cook? You know?
I've cooked most of my life. You know, mom and dad worked hard when I was a kid, I was home alone. There was always food available, but it wasn't always cooked.
And Paula Deen taught me how to cook on the DVR.
Oh, Paula Deen. She's still kicking, ain't she? She's somewhere.
She's
over there opening up restaurants left and right.
Yeah.
I think
we ate at one of her somewhere.
She almost got canceled a couple years ago for something.
Well.
Oh, yeah.
We don't even watch TV anymore. We watch YouTube.
YouTube is where it's at. And let me tell you something about YouTube. I still watch it with ads. That's how cheap I am.
How do we?
I'm not going to succumb to your whatever, $10, $15 a month, you know, so I don't have to watch these stupid ads.
Sorry.
It's the principle of the thing. So, I mean, you could still pay for apps today and still watch the commercials. It makes zero sense. So the TV land just followed the stream land and they ruined it. They just absolutely ruined it.
Well, there's so many commercials, man. But he said that I actually don't know that. I didn't know that, but we actually...
I upgraded us a few months ago and didn't
know. You were like, screw this. My life is worth more than this 30-second commercial. Especially if you're just dozing. You know, like for me, I like to sit in my couch and I'll scroll on my phone, whatever, and glance up at the TV every once in a while. Well, you could be halfway through an ad and not know it.
That's right. That's right.
I'll probably cave real soon on that, though. I don't know. It's the principle of it, you know.
I can tell you if you do it without the ads and then it slips, you don't pay it that month or something like that. You notice.
Oh, they're on it.
You notice.
They're on it.
You notice. Yeah. You definitely notice. You're like, what happened? What's going on?
Let me throw it.
Well, that's the thing about the internet, which a bunch of people are oblivious to. You know, it's like they know everything. Whenever it's online, they know everything. So when they're wanting to make all this cashless money, you know, go online, you know, all this stuff drives me nuts because they're gonna have eyes on everything. You think your bank account's safe? Nope. Yeah, you forget your water bill, they might freeze your whole account, get you a ticket for something that you didn't do.
Man, we're on the same page. We had the same mental thoughts.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm thinking about starting another podcast that gets all political to see how the heck America ended up where we're at now. I might start one.
I mean,
hey, if you talk to me, because today, all day, literally all day, I've been on the phone with the IRS. 3 phone calls.
Well, yeah, they're listening. They're tuning in.
I'd like to give them an earful.
Nah, we'll talk off air too. I like talking, but we don't have to talk too long. I mean, I still got stuff to do tonight. Guys, we're coming up on, like, I don't even know, 40 minutes. What do we need to talk about? What's something that you guys want to cover that's kind of unique to yourself?
Just check the trailer out. Like, I named it Beefy because when it rolled up on them big tires, I was like,
it looks stout.
Yeah.
It looks good. It doesn't look like some puny little pull behind, you know. It's stout.
It kind of fits our personalities. I mean, it's, you know, it's a decent trailer. It's on 32. Yeah. It's nothing crazy, but we like it. Well, like I said in the voicemail to you, it doesn't matter how you get outside. It really don't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not getting outside and enjoying what's left in the world, it might not be there forever, you know?
Yeah. So that's just it.
Yeah,
you know, it's slowly getting depleted. These farmers, they love it. Yeah. Their kids, they love the money. So whenever, you know, you're on the beach and then all those properties start going for sale, because no one wants to farm. Mm-hmm. You can sell all that stuff for big money and enjoy it in your lifetime. You might screw your kids over, right. But
so it didn't matter what you got at the house. It doesn't matter what kind of truck you have. I mean, you know, Dodges are getting more and more popular. You know, some of the big builds now, the AVs and all that are on Dodge chassis, but I don't know anybody driving a 2003 Dodge out there doing what we do with it. But it doesn't matter.
I know one guy, and he's got a pull behind also. David Greisner or Greisner. Man, I always screw up your name, brother. I know you're listening. Dave Wiesner. David Wiesner. My gosh, I'm going to have to edit that out. He might unfriend me.
We're going to have to check him out.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's got a YouTube or nothing. Right. He might. Don't quote me, but I'll send you that on Instagram or whatever. But he... super nice guy, and he's got him and his wife and I think 2 boys that go with him every once in a while, but for the most part it's just kind of him. He's got, I think he built this, it's a teardrop, he built it, and he's getting ready to build a second one because he said once he was building this one he found out a bunch of things that he learned that he would like to incorporate in another one. Not saying it's shoddy work, it's just like this would be a better feature over here and that, any more functionality. So
well, and that's one thing with us is we're always thinking about what we can change and how we can grow. Like, do we want to grow out of Beefy or do we want to grow around Beefy? So,
those are good thoughts.
We even mentioned the other day, you know, we need another awning to go on the truck for when we have guests with us. They can have somewhere to sit too.
Yeah. Like,
more shades, better anywhere. Yeah. If you get in the right environment. So,
yeah.
We're always looking to change our setup. Do something different. Even when we talked about when I retire, going farther out west, is the trailer going to be the best thing for us then, or do we need to go to like a flatbed with a truck? That's my dream.
Oh man, yeah, because you can get a removable one now. Yeah. You can have a flatbed in that camper, whatever that is. Yeah. I don't even know because I'm too afraid to look.
Nice one, yeah.
Yeah, so it just sets on the flatbed.
Yep, on the flatbed, gives you more room inside the area, and I love flatbeds anyway.
Yes,
so,
he does.
You know,
would be really cool.
Yeah, and the discussion that we have a lot together is, she leans more towards a newer vehicle. I lean more towards an older vehicle because I can work on it. The newer they get, the less I can work on them, and so that's another thing. Do I just keep like? Our truck is due for a motor. Like, it's starting to come down on power. It eats a little bit of oil every trip. Sometimes I got to put a little water in it. Can't find where any of that's coming from. I've replaced everything I can replace. It's almost $300,000 on the motor.
Yeah.
You know, first gen Hemi that they come out with.
Is that the 5.7?
Yeah, the 5.7. It was still,
man. Yeah. I get you. I lean towards more of the older vehicles too, but it's not like a lot of people out there think, ooh, it's an old vehicle. Okay, cool. But the maintenance isn't, you know?
Yes.
You could replace a bunch of the crap on it you know, and it drive and be as reliable as a new vehicle. Just depends on how much money you want to do it and how far you want to take it, you know. And
listen,
I get you.
He put new seats in. And then what was it, the suspension?
So I did, she's always said, because it's 2500, she's always said it's kind of road rough, right? So I did the whole Thurin springs and everything on the front, then the rear rode a little rough. The seats were on my side were wore out, but those just the older seats, they just don't ride as good. So I got a set of 2015, 2016 Dodge seats. And slapped them in there. She got in there for the first time. She's like, what is this?
Well, it was our last tape lookout in March. And I was like,
yeah, because I rebuilt
the room. Did you feel that? Because I did.
You didn't notice the seats?
No.
Or she?
I noticed everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Literally, we're on the beach. I'm like, I don't know if you've ever driven on beach sand, but you get these little ripples.
Yeah, it's a weird feeling for me.
Yeah, in the old truck before he did in the same truck before he did the new upgrades in March, it was like I was almost nauseated by the time we got to the end.
Oh, gosh.
The rear springs were wore out. So what I did in March when I did the seats, I didn't tell her. What I also did was I rebuilt the leaf packs, and I put a brand new set of 5800 Bilsteins in the back. So I rebuilt the rear suspension. I rebuilt the front suspension last year. Rebuilt the rear suspension this year. We got on the beach. She's like, what did you do to the truck? He's like, it rides like a new truck. What did you do?
I'm not ready to throw up.
We're just gliding.
Yeah.
Yes, it was awesome.
That is it's the little things, right? You just appreciate it more.
Yes.
I think that's great. I don't know. That's just where I'm at on things. I think it's great. Keep this older stuff on the road because, you know, like you said, all this newer stuff. I know a buddy, he does, you know, paint and all that stuff, body work. He had to put in a switch.
Yeah,
on like a 2016 Chevy or something. They had to have somebody come out and program it because even with his fancy Snap-on stuff,
that's what I told her. And you know, we've had an alternator go out on a camping trip.
Yeah,
I literally the light started flashing. All my lights went out. She's like, "What do we do?" I was like, "I'm going to drive as moderately as fast as I can." Find me in O'Reilly's or AutoZone. Literally pulled in the next exit, pulled in there. I changed it in the parking lot. A newer vehicle, you know, 2022, 23, 24. Who knows how long that would have took us to get, you know, repair.
Yeah.
And so I like the idea of the older stuff. I'd much rather just put a motor in my truck and just have a 100,000 mile warranty on that. You know, just get a crate motor with a warranty because that other than the internal of the motor is the only thing on our truck that's not been touched. I mean, front and rear suspension, steering, you know, seats. I've deleted the back seat, so we got more storage.
Nice.
The newer seats, you know, and it needs paint of some kind.
We do have an idea on the paint, though.
Okay.
Our friends, Rhino lined their Tundra.
Tundra.
Their Tundra. And he mentioned the other day, we talked about this. We have another friend who actually wants to help him do it.
Got a body shop.
To rhino line the truck red.
Cool. To match the trailer.
And I'm like,
wow.
Here's my only thought. But the Band-Aid has to go away.
Oh, have you seen the sticker on the side?
Yeah, I've seen that. So what do you got to do? Replace the bed? Pound it out? Because that's the thing with the Rhino line stuff. You don't have to have a smooth surface,
but you
can still see a little bit of dents, but it'll fool your eye like crazy.
Yeah.
The big thing is I won't be able to put the sticker back on, is what she said.
I know. I'm like, dang it.
So I've got to ask, where'd you get that sticker from?
Oh, for Amazon. I got an extra
one. I'll
send it to you.
what'd you search? Large, ginormous Band-Aid?
Yes.
Yeah.
Watched a
giant size.
Yeah. Watched a Bleeping Jeep video where they were passing out their stickers. They've got Band-Aid. They call them trail repairs, and they're giant Band-Aids that say Bleeping Jeep, and they'll slap them if somebody has
body damage.
And I bought the truck with a dent in it. Honestly, I wish I could say I did the dent, but I didn't. I bought it with a dent in it. That's probably the old guy I bought it from. The only reason he sold it to me because one of his construction workers that worked for him dented it, and he sold me the truck, and it's like, I'm never going to fix it. We're going to camp out of it. What are we going to do? And that's just kind of my sense of humor. I was like, I'm going to put a giant Band-Aid.
Yep.
Yeah. Same here, bro. That's funny. Work with it, you know.
Yeah.
Don't hide it.
If I put a flat dent on it, it won't have the dent no more.
Yeah.
No, you won't. Yep. it'll be gone.
Okay.
So are all your monies.
Yeah, yes.
That's the truth. That's the truth. When you start pricing them things, I haven't even begun to tell her what they cost.
I don't even want to know.
I don't even want to know myself. I was in a discussion today on a group chat, and we were talking about rear bumpers. You know, you got swing outs, you got dual singles, not, you know, any.
$2,800 to get a rear swing out for my truck. I've wanted really? One so bad in my lifetime, but I think I'll do without.
Is that a DIY kit or is that welded?
No, that's a fully welded up deal. That's there's one company, I cannot remember the name of it right now, but they're the only ones making one for the Dodge. And they
really?
Yeah, they make it for the Dodge, and it's a dual swing out, and it's like $2,800 shipped to you.
Crazy. I remember when I bought mine, because, you know, same thing, like with your platform, there's not a lot of aftermarket support for this, you know, with the bumpers and stuff. There is now a little bit better, but not like it was.
Not the older stuff.
Not for Jeeps. Yeah, exactly. Not for, like, because they're making money on that stuff, yeah. You know, putting R&D into that stuff. Anyway, where was I going? What were you saying?
Rear swing out.
Oh, rear swing out bumpers and all that crap. They used to be like $2,000,
yeah.
Welded, shipped to your door, you know, for my rig.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of money for me for a dumb bumper.
That's a lot. It's a super
well, money. Now they're like $3,500 and it's insane.
That's because everybody likes Toyotas.
Yeah, Toyotas, dude. They're hot. They are hot. I don't know about these new ones coming out. I'm not a big fan of the four cylinders and the turbos and all that stuff set up for failure. And we'll see. I'm a diehard Toyota guy. I'm not going to support that, though.
Yeah, that V8 motor that they put in the 4Runner for a while, I think that's the best thing. That motor runs great.
They came out with the 4.0. I think that one was a 4.7. And those came out with, you know, the Tacomas had one, I think, or maybe it was the older Tundras. I might be speaking out.
Tundras had the V8.
So, yeah, they put one in a 4th-gen 4Runner.
Yeah.
For some odd reason. And if you could find one that's got the sport hood or the, you know, the whatever.
Yeah.
You know, with all that, those things are hot.
Yeah. My wife is a 4Runner fan. Yeah. She would like to have one.
I would.
I've never fit well in Toyotas. I've been around them my whole life. My dad had a couple. My buddies have always had
theirs.
I fit in a Tundra. Yes, I do fit in a Tundra. But I mean,
those are built for Americans. The other stuff was made for little Chinese or little Japanese Asians. Not being disrespectful or anything.
Not at all.
They're built for.
Yeah.
The Tundra also gets worse gas mileage than my 03 Dodge 2500 gas.
Really?
It's supposed to be the worst gas mileage on the road for
really?
Trucks. Yeah.
You got stats on that?
Just what I've randomly seen and read and what my buddies have told me who owned them.
Ooh. Yeah. We talking about
gas
15 miles a gallon, 12 miles a gallon?
Something like that, yeah.
Well,
I don't get that in a big American.
You could argue the smiles per gallon or just whatever. Put a sticker over your gas gauge.
There you go.
That's right. I mean, wouldn't mind having a new
just time. Watch for the yellow light.
Yeah,
I'll tell you a story. My odometer or my gas gauge, my fuel gauge does not work. So I have to go off miles. Well, if you're on a trail going 5 miles an hour, 3 miles an hour, and you got idle time and all that stuff, you're just like, where are we at?
You know, four low versus four high, what you burning?
Yeah. Sure. And you're in the middle of nowhere. I don't have any extra fuel. So like over the last 2 or 3 years, you know, I've pushed the limits, you know, so it's like now I can go to X amount of miles before filling up comfortably. You know, before I was like, oh, there's a gas station. You put like $4 in it. And you're like, okay, that was a little too soon, a little premature there.
Yeah, we don't have any fancy roto packs or nothing, but because Cape Lookout is only supported by barges, the federal government sells gas on the island, and we've had to we've had to buy it one time.
Boy, do they sell
and,
it!
So now I take at least 5 to 10 gallons of my regular can with me because I'm gonna get back on that ferry without buying gas on the island.
How much is it normally? Is it like double the price of land fuel? If you'd say
21, it was $5.
It was
something a gallon.
I know it was when we paid in 21, it was like $2.98 or right at $3 off the island, and it was actually close to $8 on the island.
Yeah.
That's like Death Valley stuff.
Yeah, because
it's a lot.
I mean, that fuel, you have to figure the government bought it, put it on a barge, paid the barge guy to drive it to the island. Yeah. And then, you know, and now he's paying, now they're paying a park ranger to fill your truck up, you know, so.
It's a lot.
Don't get me started. Don't get me started. Government. That ain't your country, by the way, folks. That's just your government.
That's right.
All right, guys. Let's wrap it up here real quick. How could people follow you, do all the fun things, like your stuff, comment? You tell them what to do. Yeah, they'll do it.
Well, we got Instagram, Roman with the Milligans, at Roman with the Milligans. We've got YouTube. And it's the same thing, at Roman with the Milligans. Nothing crazy there. Our Instagram is a little bit bigger. We do put a little more stuff on there. We're trying to get motivated and geared up for YouTube. I like doing YouTube. I've done a couple random DIY projects on my truck, like replace the Tippmann and a few things. And I love the videos the way they came out, but you know, they get a few watches, but, that's us. Other than that, we need to plan a trip to Cape Lookout. You get up with us. You need to plan it.
Put Rendezvous in the Ozarks on your books too. You guys need to come out.
It's on my books. I've told her about it a couple times. And so that's definitely something, because we want to get to the Ozarks anyways, man. I'm infatuated with videos and stuff. So
my biggest tip to anyone coming out here is try to come out, if you can, a few days before the event. The event's from Thursday to Saturday, technically, and a lot of people leave on Sunday. And then a lot of people are like, oh, I'll go out after. You're exhausted afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
Come before a day or two, at least to kind of experience it, you know, not before the madness, because there's no such thing. The only madness is at the campground, and it's not even madness, it's huge.
Yeah,
but like the vastness of the forest and the trails out there, you'll never like bump into anyone. It's very rare if you do, and if you do, you're probably wheeling really close to the campsite. So it's really fun. It's a fun event.
Yeah, it's on our list. We really enjoyed the Overland Expo when we went. I don't know if we'll ever go back to another one, because that we did it and it's great. Now, if we were going to buy some gear that we knew we were going to buy, or if somebody wanted us there in their booth, maybe we would go. But like Rendezvous at the Ozarks, there's one in Florida that's pretty close. An event like that's in Florida close to us that a friend of ours just came to, that we'll probably try to hit next year. So, and I just love meeting new people, man, and hanging out.
That's what I love. Yeah. I just like chatting with you, you know, especially if you've seen someone's YouTube or listened to their podcast or whatever, or been chatting with them in forums. It's really cool to put actual faces with profiles, you know.
That's
a goofy thing.
That's what we did at the Overland, because we had been following so many people on YouTube and Instagram. Yeah. And then we finally got to meet them. And like when we met them, it's like, I know you so well, but I know you don't know me. It's really weird.
Yeah. It is, but that's kind of our culture, you know, and it's fun. Like for me, I don't care. I just want to have on people like you, good conversations, people that are doing things different in a different part of the world from them, and just get an insight. The world's too small and life's too short. So
that's for sure.
I think it's fun.
Well, if you come
and you'll close, get there on your videos.
Yeah, if you come close, let us know. I mean, even if it's like Tennessee or something.
Oh, I'm coming there. Yeah. September, we'll be in Savannah,
Georgia.
I've never been to Savannah.
That's not far. I mean, if you get us some dates, we'll camp somewhere.
Yeah.
So we're going to be in South Carolina also. I got to ask my wife where we're going. Every year we do kind of a fall trip. It's around Labor Day, I'm sure, because we utilize those weekends, the extended weekend.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll holler at you if you guys or in the area or are up for a little drive. We'd love to go out to dinner or something with you. It'd be fun.
Definitely.
There's plenty of places to camp in Georgia. We can get, if you stay in somewhere, we can get close enough to where we'll have our gear and we'll go to dinner, hang out, whatever.
Yeah.
Love to.
This is going to be a non-overland trip for us, but you got to do those too, you know?
Yes.
So. Oh yeah. Yeah. We've got some of those planned as well.
Sweet. Guys, I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks, yeah, man. Thanks for having us.
We will talk soon. I guarantee you that.
All right. Have a good
guys. Evening. Yeah, you too. Guys, don't forget to go over and check out all their things. I'll put all the links in the show notes, and then share with a friend.
Thank you.
One last thing.
Yeah.
Do cool stuff.
Do cool stuff, and don't regret it.
Don't
regret it on your deathbed.
Do cool stuff.
All right, guys. Bye bye.
Later.